Well, look who's here.
Melissa! Melissa!
Holly Springs.
Holly Springs.
In the house. All right.
All right, here we are.
Okay. I figured we would wrap. It's really not a wrap up, but you can go on and on. But I wanted to finish up the theme. Finish up the theme that we were going over when Melissa brought the question up about keeping your body under subjection. So I thought that would be a good thing because it's every book of Paul's, every epistle. It addresses that issue about the doctrine and the practice. And we are free as believers.
Yes.
Do you know that?
Amen.
Do you know that? He has set us completely free. And I was riding over here, and we are so free. It's almost scary.
Really?
It is. Because, but... He says, use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And we talked about this before. We'll get started in a minute here. Where there's something that's called diplomatic immunity. You ever heard of that term?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
It means the crooks get away with all the things they want to do.
Do you see that? He said it means the crooks get away. That's what people think grace is.
Right.
That's immediately they think that. They say, well... You mean to tell me that I can go to America and do anything that I want to do and I won't be punished? Only if you have a crook mentality. See, it never occurs to a person that maybe, Frank, maybe I want to represent my country in a way that's becoming of my country. So when you get saved...
Some diplomats do that.
Some diplomats do that.
Most of them don't.
But now, we are ambassadors, right?
Yes.
Right.
In his stead.
Mm-hmm.
That's your, when you got saved, when you trusted Christ, you did trust Christ, right?
Amen.
Yes.
Everybody
absolutely.
Trusted him?
Amen.
Just him?
Mm-hmm.
And something happened to you. You got a job, didn't even have to apply for it. You became an ambassador, a representative of a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says our citizenship is where? No, Tennessee.
No.
United States.
No.
Memphis.
Heaven.
Our citizenship is in
heaven.
From whence we look for the Savior. So, he says, the minute you did that, you became an ambassador.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, they got so mad that they killed the ambassador to, was it Libya?
Libya.
They killed him. Usually, that is a declaration of war. Usually.
Used to be.
So, here we are as ambassadors for Christ, and the Lord says, okay, now, you go out and do what?
Reconcile the world to me.
Well, you have the ministry of represent me.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He didn't say, you go out there and do whatever you want to do. You're the ministry of, okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
See, he's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now this, he gives you an education about who you are first. Okay, you may have friends or relatives, associates. Just ask them if they're saved. He says, did you know when you got saved? Did you know what you became? I bet you they won't say ambassador.
I didn't know till I came here. I like that title.
You
like? All right.
All right.
Best time we've ever had.
All right. It's more than the title, though.
All
See, there's something that's associated with that title. He says this, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
To wit, to know. Here's the doctrine. He says, I've given you some information here. Not to hatch it, to sit on it. Right?
Okay.
He says, to know, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Okay.
What does reconciliation mean?
Okay. Coming clean.
Okay.
Return to a relationship.
Returning to a relationship. What's the opposite? Sometimes what will help you understand the word is understanding what the opposite of that word is. The opposite of reconciliation. When you get divorced, people get divorced, they says we had irreconcilable differences. What does that mean?
We can't be together.
It's something that's stopping us from coming together. Or staying together, or living in harmony. So, like Karen said, so you become alienated.
Mm-hmm.
And so much so sometimes where that love becomes animosity, or scripture called it enmity, a strong hatred. So the unsaved person is an enemy of God. The unsaved person is an enemy of God. God is not his enemy. He's an enemy. So he gives us the word of reconciliation. And he says, look at verse 20. Now then, since he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, since he's given us the word of reconciliation, he says, now then, you got a job. You got your information how to carry out the job. He says, now then, go out and do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. He didn't say that.
He didn't? Wait a minute.
Say that.
He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
Amen.
We have unsaved family members, friends, co-workers. He says, your job is to go out. If Christ was here, that's what he would do. He would go out, he said, and beseech them to be reconciled to God.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why should we do that? He says, for, to further explain this, he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might be
made.
Key word. Made.
Okay.
Not that we might earn the righteousness of God. That we might be made.
Excuse me.
When we trust him, and we talked about it, it's all up front. It's a loaded deal.
He does the work. All things are of God.
It's not in installments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Karen say this. It's not an installment plan.
Mm-hmm.
He gives it all up front. Can you imagine going to a job and it says, what's the salary? And it says, your salary is $70,000 a year. And it says, oh, okay. And he says, here's your job description. Here's your office. Here's your $70,000. You haven't done one thing. He doesn't know if you're qualified, if you're going to work out, but he gives it all to you up front, and he says, "Now, just go do the job." That's somebody who's either crazy or they have a lot of confidence in you. Right?
Mm-hmm. One or the other.
What does that tell you about God?
Has a lot of confidence in you.
You know why he has a lot of confidence in you?
Because the confidence is in his Son.
All right. Keep going.
And we're in the Son.
Keep going.
Got us through this, right?
He's in you. We're in him. Mm-hmm. Because the power is not of us. That's why he says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" Mm-hmm. Okay. In Romans 8, he says, "Don't you know that Christ is in you?" The Spirit of Christ is where?
In us.
And what?
Dudamus.
What is that? English. What is it?
Power.
Dynamite.
Yes.
He says, it's in you to help you do what?
To live right.
Huh?
To do of his will and his good pleasure.
To do of his will and his good pleasure. He said this in Ephesians. He says, if the power that raised up Christ from the dead
be in you,
the power that raised him up far above all heavens, and set him at his own right hand in
heavenly places.
If the power of that power is in you,
okay.
What can he do? What can he not do?
Anything.
See, all that is information that he's given you about what you have available. Then he says this. He says, "Now, what do you want to do with it?
You going to use those talents, or you going to bury them in the ground?
Are you going to?" That's like the parables where Jesus, he says, "Oh, I'll give you these talents, and you take invest that till I come back." Amen. And he comes back and he says, "What'd you do with it?" "Mm-hmm. Oh, I've got tenfold. I got this." Yeah. "What'd you do?" "Oh, I put it in the ground."
"You wicked?"
"I sat on it." "Oh, why?" He says, he called him a
wicked
servant. He won't call you that. He just says, "Now, this is what you have available." And he says, "You use it."
That's strong.
So, not just that, and the excuse is, what's the excuse?
You don't have any. You either yield to the Spirit or you yield to the flesh.
And even this, you can say, "Well, this old man, I just can't handle him."
No excuse.
What can you, if you got to the Lord and he says, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 11. That's a lot. Verse 10. Now, Paul had received grace as our apostle and the architect of this grace wherein we stand. He says this in verse 10. "According to the grace given unto me, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And he goes on to say, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. That's not the verse I wanted. But the principle is there, is he allows us to labor for him and with him right now. And he says, I'll reward you for it, your work, if it's on the right foundation. But what the verse that I wanted was that he says this, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body. To not sins, not your sins, whether good or bad. Not your sins. The sins were judged where?
At the cross.
Once for all.
Romans
14:10. Thank you. 14:10.
Thank you.
He says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to who? To God. And there's another one. It's in Corinthians. It's in 1 Corinthians. But I guess we're just going to find that, huh?
Thanks, 1:3.
Oh, you know what? I think it's in Philippians. Ephesians is Philippians. No, that's not. That's 1:2, but that's not the one either. In Philippians, he says that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's in Corinthians.
If you're using your new Bible, you could go right to it.
If I had a new Bible, I can go right to it.
New Bible, you could go right to it.
Okay, but anyway, we've quoted it, but I wanted you to read it. But he does say that. To give an account for the things done in the body.
Well, it's First Corinthians 6.
6.
Mm-hmm. Which is all things are lost. I'm sorry, I was thinking. Do you not know that your body is a temple? Is that what you're looking for?
No.
Do you not know that the saints will judge the world?
No.
Do you not judge those who are within the church, but those who are outside God judges?
No. But that's we got 20 people in here. We can't find that verse.
I'm not exactly sure I know what you're looking for.
It's in Corinthians.
I know the scripture. I just can't remember
where
it's in it.
What does it sound like?
Yes. But anyway, that's what it says. Second Corinthians chapter 5.
Ah, we got it.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. Right. verse 9.
That's it.
He says, wherefore, we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. He's not talking about salvation. You're already saved. He's talking about your service. He's talking about your ambassadorship. How are you representing me? Or if you are representing me, or if you want to represent me. He says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Good service or bad service. Can you imagine? There's to where he's equipped us to do of his good pleasure, like Ephesians said, we are his workmanship, created unto good works. Right? You got all the resources, right? Uh-huh. All the power, right?
Yes.
It's not even a question, right? And when you get there, and it says, what'd you do while I was away? While you were away, what do you have to show? And you say, well, let's see. And you pull out empty pockets, so to speak. And what could you say about the grace that had been given to us? You can't get there and then all of a sudden want to upgrade. You know, well, you know, it's too late. And I was riding over here. This is what I thought about. I said, what if I'm riding over here and what if one day I woke up and I couldn't read anymore? Or if I couldn't speak anymore. Or couldn't walk, whatever. I thought about, what if I couldn't read anymore? This is where my joy comes from right here. And I thought about that. I said, boy, if that was taken away from me, the ability to read his word. Wow. What would I do? That just kind of, what would you do?
Don't dwell on it.
Thank you.
I'll get you an iPod. Download. They won't know. They'll think you're listening to music.
You could get there. You could get an iPod. Yes, you could.
It wasn't available earlier.
She took the stinger out of that statement. It's not the same as reading it for yourself.
No,
because then you, with the book, you can go to where you want to go to.
Yeah.
So, with iPod, you have to listen to it at the end of the tape or rewind. Yeah. But all this is available for us. This time that we spend together, the time that you spend with the Lord, and it's not just to accumulate knowledge. It is that you to he equips us to do what he wants done.
Amen.
Doesn't he?
Yes.
So I guess we can move on. But we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. Because what he does is this. There's no excuse. The doctrine, all the doctrine that he gives us, all the information that he gives us. And on top of that, he says, you'll be saved. But when you pull in, I want to know, how were you? Are you glad you're saved?
Did you redeem the time?
Every saint would say this. How many love the Lord? Everybody raise their hand. Everybody would raise their hand. Because they say, well, I'm out of hell. Right? But his idea of love is not our idea of love. Look at, flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What's that? Yes. First Corinthians 15, verse 8. Paul says this. He says, for I am the least of the apostles. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. Paul says, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was what? Which was with me. What does he mean? The grace of God that was with me.
Which was with me.
What does he mean?
The favor.
Right, I was about to say. The favor. What favor, Roy? Like you said. You know what he wrote?
The unmerited favor.
When he met the Lord on Damascus, on the way to Damascus, he knew. What did he know? That was it.
Yeah.
That was it for me. My last day in town.
My plans are all gone. Is it?
He could have killed him. Mm-hmm. He should have killed him.
Reminds me of Isaiah. I am undone.
It was done. It was. He says, Paul, Saul. Why persecutest thou me? He says, Who art thou, Lord? He says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest.
He took a big gulp,
right. And he says, who art thou? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Lord, we talked about the reckoning last week, about reckoning, where Paul, he had a crash course in Jewish history right there. He thought about all the times he persecuted the Lord, all those signs and wonders that he heard about, all those professions that he said, this is the Son of God, all that stuff. He crammed it all up in the 10 seconds or whatever. And he says,
Lord,
what wilt thou have me to do? He says, this is right. He's who he said he was. And if he's who he said he was, I'm in big trouble.
he probably didn't listen to what David said.
What?
About blessed is the man.
Oh. And he said, and the Lord told him, he says, it's hard for thee to kick against the priest. He told him, you can't win.
Yeah.
But that same grace, the grace of God picked him up from there.
Yes.
And began to, that was his motivating factor. He had the information, who he was, where he was. He just said, he says, I was one born out of due season. He knew that it was, he knew all that information. And then the Lord says this, now, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to give you some more information. Mm-hmm. And the Lord gave him that information. And the gratitude that Paul had, yes, for the Lord sparing him, mm-hmm, for the Lord choosing him, mm-hmm, for the Lord commissioning him, mm-hmm, for the Lord empowering him, that gratitude, he says, I labored
more abundantly than they all.
yet not I.
Mm-hmm. But the grace of God which was with me.
Now, you know why we strive to do right? Why we strive to adorn his doctrine? It's because of his grace. It's because we realize that you had your Damascus road,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And one day you realize that you deserve death. The things that we do and think we are worthy, it's worthy of death.
Amen.
It does not measure up to the Lord.
Amen.
His requirements for righteousness.
So true.
And we are worthy of death. Yeah, I'm not that bad. You're worthy of death.
Amen.
I don't do what James did. You're worthy of death. If you don't think so, take a look at that list in Romans chapter 1. Take a look at that list in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Take a look at that list in Galatians chapter 5. And I guarantee you, one or two of those will be your card. Or more. And he said, they are... And even if you didn't do anything, you came here a what?
Sin.
A sinner.
Amen. That's the truth.
And the wages of sin
is death.
In Adam, how many die?
All.
All. So he's just.
Yeah.
But his grace, he didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And even now, he says, now, with this information, he says, you go out and be an ambassador.
Yes.
Free.
Yes.
You don't, I'm not pushing you to do it.
Yeah.
But if the doctrine works in you, if the grace, if the doctrine motivates you to do it, then you do it.
Amen.
Right? Okay, let's cruise down some verses here. Look at Galatians, and we just quoted that, actually, Galatians chapter 5, and we talked about it, and he freed us, right?
Yes. Free.
There's no regulations on you. To go back to what Frank said about diplomatic immunity is you are free, and you come over, and you can do and go anywhere you want to go. Grace does that. But in chapter 5, verse 1, says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Drop down to verse 13. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
Amen.
Now, he says you could, and he goes in chapter 5, talks about the works of the flesh and then the fruit of the Spirit. But what will keep you thinking about the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is doctrine. Is who you are. He's freed us. Not, I think Ed said it. He said it. I heard him. I heard that part. He said he didn't free us to sin. He freed us from sin.
Mm-hmm.
To serve.
Yes.
You were once the servants of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And he said, what fruit did you have when you were doing that? I don't know if this is a verse or not, but he says, you be sure that your sin will find you out. And in Galatians, look at chapter 6.
Verse 7.
Yeah.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap
life everlasting.
And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap as we reap if we faint not. So he says, God is not mocked. Be not deceived. You know who deceives us?
Satan.
Well, don't blame everything on Satan. We always blame everything on Satan.
So you're going to set a play?
Bad doctor.
The old man, right. Because he'll say this. The wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. That's plain scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Functional death and eventually eternal separation. He'll say this. It's not that bad.
That's true.
It's not.
That's true.
You are free, right?
You're under grace.
You're under grace, right? God knows.
Yeah. You're already forgiven.
You already, all that good doctrine that, he says, look, it's not like it's a lifestyle. Just one time, two times. That's the thing about it. One time becomes two times, two times. So, but that's the deceitfulness of sin. Because all he needs is, he says all he needs is a provision. Get his foot. If he gets his foot in the door, you know, like those salesmen, if he gets you talking, next thing you know, you do you have just a minute? Sure. Okay. And he begins to talk to you. And now they get so clever, it's Ed, how you doing?
Hi.
Right. How's your day? It was fine. How are you? Oh, good, good. I have a question for you. Okay. Do you have cable TV? Yeah, I do. And it goes on. It's subtle like that. And next thing you know, you've been talking to him for 15 minutes. And then he says, how would you like to upgrade your cable service? Well, the old man is just like that. He says, how are you feeling today? And then he just, you can.
How would you never like to pay for air conditioning? Never have to pay for heating. We'll need a heater now. Great can.
Now, it's comical, but
yeah.
The old man, he's smooth.
And he knows your buttons.
He knows what you like.
That's true.
And you know what? Don't ever say what you won't do.
That's true.
Because he likes that.
Yeah.
That's a challenge. That's a gauntlet.
Yeah. Look, we'll get over there. God is not mocked.
Right,
he gives you all that information in Galatians. He sets you up. He says, you're free. You've been delivered from the law. You've been delivered from the wrath to come. You've been delivered from this present evil world. And then he says, now, use that liberty to serve one another.
In love.
Right?
Right.
But the Galatians, he says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be consumed of one another.
Okay.
The doctrine's there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We just look at chapter 1. We're just going to roll through this real quick here. He says in chapter 1, he blessed us with all spiritual blessings, right? Verse 4, he says he has chosen us in him that we should be what? Holy. Verse 4.
And without blame.
Verse 5, he predestinated us into the adoption of children. Verse 6, to the praise of his glory of his grace, wherein his grace he hath made us.
In the beloved.
He has made us accepted.
Mm-hmm.
You think he knows what's wrong with us?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Think he knows what you do?
Yes.
We're talking about the God who has established this before the foundation of the world. That's how he can predestinate us. Mm-hmm. He knew you would trust Christ. And he knows what you're going to do before you even get out of here. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Maybe you haven't even made up your mind yet what you want to do when you get home. He knows. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. And all that foreknowledge of God, he says, why do you think he says, I made you accept it? Because if it was left up to you, guess what? You wouldn't be acceptable. All right. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, yes, even the
forgiveness of sins,
according to the riches of his grace, yes, wherein, in his grace, he hath abounded toward us in all
wisdom and prudence,
having made known unto us the
mystery of his will.
Okay. That's information. That's that's doctrine. Right? And we're not going into the details, but look at chapter 2. We're skipping a lot here. He says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his
great love
wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He did all that, he says, that in the ages to come, he will show just how gracious he really was towards us.
Amen.
Can you imagine the angels in the heavenly places right now, and they sit down and they see our behavior, how we act on a daily basis, how we act with the doctrine, how we act with the grace that's given us, and they look at that, and you could bet they say, wow, how in the world does he let them get away with that? Did you know that the principalities and powers watch us right now?
Mm-hmm.
Look at this. Chapter 3, verse 8. Matter of fact, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting off the information here, but Paul is, when he starts off, he says, I want you to know my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When I talk about it, I want you to know how much I know about the mystery of Christ, what he has done, what he has done for the body, for us. He says this, verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent, that now unto the principalities and powers, where?
In heavenly places.
Might be known by the church. The what?
The manifold wisdom of God.
He said, this message of grace that we read, that we talk about every week, he says, in this message, God has locked some information that's so vast, that's so great, that's so unbelievable, that when the principalities and powers, he says, I want to show you something, how smart I am, how wise I am. And he says, let me show you what I could do. And then he says, watch them. You. He says, watch them. I know what you're thinking. What are they saying?
Watch them.
How, you. I'm saying you. Watch them. He says, to the intent, to the end, that now, right now, 2012, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, right?
Mm-hmm.
Might be known by the church. Who's the church?
We are.
He says, you people. He says, you people right now, us people. Us people are showing the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. He's got everything riding on you. So he says, you want to see something? Look at them. You see, now that's, you could say that's embarrassing to God if he's got to watch us, right? But no, that's because you're looking at your behavior.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why he says, now walk worthy of the vocation where you've been called, wherewith you've been called. See, if you see what God's got riding on you, what he's got invested in you, then you could say,
wow.
You could say, you know what? How can I do this? How can I? He loves me enough to entrust me with this message, number one. I'm an ambassador, and he says, now, to the principalities and powers, he says, watch how my grace works in them.
Amen.
And he says, I know, it don't look like nothing right now, but just wait.
Wait till they mature. Huh?
That's why, say it again.
Wait till they mature.
Wait till they mature. He says,
amen.
Watch them. Because you can bet they're thinking that when he starts saving us, and the angels up there, they sin one time, but they, maybe this is hypothetical, maybe one of their cousins was the one who left this first estate. And he says, well, my cousin, he just did one thing and he can't come back. So he begins to look out at us. And he sees us falling and stumbling and abusing his grace, misusing his grace, abusing our liberty, not spending time in the doctrine. And that you, they bet they sit up there and say, I think he lost it. I can see why they left and left with Lucifer. I can see. Maybe we're on the wrong side here. But he says, no, when that plan goes through the timeline and it finally unfolds, and then they begin to see the grace working.
Amen.
And then he says, what's that?
Philippians 1:6.
He's working, and then he says, Romans 8. He says, now, who I foreknew, I did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So, and he takes us. And then when it finally matures, when we finally mature, and he says, you got a chance. You have, this is where the doctrine is important. You have a chance right now to so they can see, oh, it's working. Look at him. That doctrine, that word is powerful. It took him, look what it did for him. But most of us, we're going to have to wait till he get the job done at one time, that one shot. when he says, we shall all be conformed to the image of his son. He's going to complete the job. But he says, my doctrine,
cooperate in the meantime.
The doctrine, it could work in us right now. Amen. So when they see us, they can say, oh, it's coming along just fine. You ever notice of Paul when he talks about perfecting as saints? I want you to be perfect. This is the will of God, even your perfection. When he says, I would that every man be perfect. He said, I teach this gospel, teaching every man, warning every man, that I might present every man perfect, mature. Yes. He said, this will work. It'll work. Yes. And it'll give God glory. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what? Just a side benefit, you get something out of it too.
Amen. That is so true.
Last, look at Colossians. Mm-hmm. I love this passage. I love this. This is, and we didn't look at the verses, but that's enough for us to, I think, to get a idea of how much God has invested in his word and in us. Colossians chapter 1. He says, since the day I heard your faith in Christ Jesus and love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. He says, when you heard it, he starts off with doctrine. He says, I heard your faith. Faith comes by
hearing
by
the word of God.
I heard of your faith and your love and your hope. He says, which you heard before in the word of truth, information of the gospel, information, right? Mm-hmm. He says, it bringeth forth fruit. Yes. Since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God, what?
In truth.
Do you really know what the grace of God is? We talk about grace. We float the word around. I'm under grace. Do you really know what that means? You couldn't know without knowing the doctrine. You couldn't. How gracious was he to you? You don't know because you don't know, number one, what he did, what he accomplished. Some of us don't even know what we were. Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
So he says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit, for this cause, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want you to know the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, he wants you to know this is what he wants you to do, number one, here. What he's doing and here. And he says, in all wisdom. Now, wisdom is knowledge in action. You know, you can, we talked about it, you can get it all up here, but you don't know how to work it out. Amen. And he says, in spiritual understanding, yes. That is, how does this knowledge and this wisdom that I'm acquiring, how does this relate to God and what he's doing and what he wants to do? Mm-hmm. You know, people... You have people, here's what misunderstanding, spiritual misunderstanding is. Where they say, I know now that God wants me to be an author. Or he has chosen me to be a mechanic. Really? God has chosen you to be a car mechanic. The jobs that he's given you, they are in here. And I guarantee you won't find a mechanic.
Amen.
Paul didn't say this. He has chosen me. I'm running this race for to please him who has chosen me to be a tent maker.
Amen.
He didn't say that, did he?
Reconciliation.
What was Timothy's job? What was Titus' job?
Minister.
No, I mean, what was his job? What did God call him to do? I'm just being facetious. That they didn't say Barnabas didn't say that he had called me to be cobblestone, whatever they did back there. Right. It was all ministers.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they knew what God was doing.
Come on now.
They had spiritual they knew where they fit in this thing.
Yeah.
So when you find out when your spiritual understanding, it only heightens by knowledge and wisdom of what he's done, right? So he says that you might, here's the purpose of all that you might
walk worthy of the Lord
unto
all pleasing,
being fruitful in
every good work
and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He packed all that to look, man. What can you say to these things?
If God be for you,
listen.
Thank you, Lord.
Excuse me.
I could read this book all night. I look up sometime and I was like, I gotta go to bed. It's like 11:30. I know my wife, she packs it in early, but I could sit back there and read till I go to sleep.
Amen.
And wake up before I go to work and I could read till I'm late.
Thank you, Lord.
And then I go to lunch and I read till I'm late for lunch. Coming back. And I can't wait till I get home to start all over again.
Amen.
He has got it.
Thank you, God.
Because I learned what he's done for me.
Yes,
that's what motivates me.
Amen.
And then I look at me and I say,
not worthy.
It's not even a question whether I'm worthy or not. Of course I'm not.
You motivate me, Frank.
He motivates you. That's
amen, the Lord.
But you, and that's our goal. That's our.
But it's your words, Frank.
It's for us. This grace is. When you think about it, it puts your mind in a tailspin. Because you say, why should he love me so? And then he says,
because you understand the doctrine.
I got a lot riding on you.
Yeah. It puts things in perspective. It really does.
And you say, me, Lord? Like he told Moses, he says, go to tell Pharaoh. And Moses said, me? He says, I can't do that. He said, don't you think I know that? And I can't talk. I know that too. I can't go. Who made your mouth?
God.
I'm going to tell you what to say. Okay, I'm going to tell your brother to tell him, and then you just do what I tell you to do. God will take, he'll do it. Do you? He just wants to volunteer.
Yield the body, yield the vessel.
So we take these words and just marinate on them. Let them marinate, percolate. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we just say thank you. We thank you for preserving this word and revealing the grace of God to us. We just thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good job.
Amen.
Good. I can see you getting more motivated.